Happy Monday. It's the Fan Morning Show, a Sportsnet 590 Fan, Ailish and Brett Gunning. Gunner's in the seat. Our grinder's back. How's it going, Gunning?
Doing well. I was not only welcomed, but encouraged to talk before the start of the show today.
We spoke so much, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. We had a real firecracker of a discussion, the history of Australia, yeah. European national anthems. Mm-hmm. We got into really a lot of places I didn't expect us to. Thrilled to be back. You know, I love my mornings, and this has been so long since I've got share the mornings with
it
you.
Has been.
So thrilled to be back and always happy to say hello to the texters and the grinders on the text line.
They're excited, I'm sure, to hear you.
One guy, not. Ah. Decidedly not. He's not happy. He'll let it be known. Maybe.
And he's just like, I got to send another text. Gunner and I today and tomorrow. And then, so Justin's off this week. I am off from Wednesday onwards. We're getting our vacations in, so...
Which I should just like, I don't know, warn, threaten, promise, however you out there feel about it. And just maybe he'll have a cold shiver run up his spine as I say this. That means Sam McKee will be back with me Wednesday through Friday.
He's already mentally preparing, I think, for
Wednesday. I guarantee you the exact opposite. Thinking about it as little as humanly possible. Like, la, 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 do not have to do it.
It'll be a fun week. Right now, if you're up and... listening, Canada just kicked off their final game here of the group stage, a massive game against Australia, host nation. Obviously, there's a lot riding on today's win after Nigeria and Ireland are playing at the exact same time, which I like. That's the rule, you know.
It's good.
No cheating because you know what the other team has done, but both teams have a lot to play for today. Australia needs to win. After a loss that kind of surprised everybody. They're obviously the host nation. New Zealand's already out, the other host nation, so they can't have two. They basically have everything to play for. Canada, if they win straight up, they'll reach the round of 16. So a win gets you through. A draw gets you through. A loss is sketchy. If they do lose today and Nigeria is on the other side, they could reach the round of 16 if Nigeria loses. But there's a bunch of tiebreakers and stuff. So basically just win or drop and you're good. And we don't have to worry about all the scenarios of how many goals, how many this, etc. So Canada got to win. Right now they kicked off a 6 a.m. start.
Yeah, I liked our man Daniele's tact to this. You were like, you know, trying to be professional and saying, hey, can I, you know, inform people what's going on in the Nigeria? Daniele said, no, you can't. Canada just needs to go take care of their business. That's a coach. I'm with Daniele.
Yep.
Go win, ladies. Let's go.
But if they don't, we'll let you know the situation moving forward. But yeah, Canada looks Christine Sinclair back in the starting lineup. Australia
has... My bestie.
Your bestie,
showed
yes.
you a just great picture BFFs. Of the two of us. Yeah,
BFF, Christine Sinclair back in the starting lineup. And then Sam Kerr, who is Australia's superstar, hasn't played a game yet in this tournament. She is back in the lineup. So they're both going all in today. So we'll keep you updated. That one has just started. And to wrap up our show, we'll have Haley McGoldrick on. She's our Sportsnet writer at 8:30. So the game will have concluded, hopefully, by that point. And then we'll know.
I think that's like the best thing about soccer. I think that's the whole selling point.
They
is
better
that it will
be
have.
Done.
Yeah.
They better be done. So 8:30, we'll have Haley McGoldrick on. We'll have Ben Ennis at 7. Nick Taylor, our Canadian hero, at 7:30.
We're talking about our guy.
Yeah, that's our guy. And then Tim Kirkjian will join us at 8 o'clock. Obviously, tomorrow is the MLB trade deadline. The Blue Jays already made quite a splash yesterday after their weekend against the Angels, acquiring Jordan Hicks. And I think this one kind of... made a lot of ripple effect on Twitter. Jays fans are very fired up to add what is arguably the best relief arm available on the market. The guy throws over 100 regularly, even touching 104. An absolute monster. Trade deadline just under 36 hours away. We'll have lots of coverage, of course, all over the station the next day and a half. And I don't think the Blue Jays are done, but they certainly made a big splash after losing Jordan Romano to the IL. Orioles are here in town for 4 massive games starting tonight. I'm going to go to tonight's game.
Ooh.
Yeah. I thought I'd like to go down there and check this team out. Because I love the Orioles from afar, and now I got to just pretend I hate them. But it'll be a really good series. And Jordan,
I don't think you'll be pretending. I think that I think it's really safe to say in this 4-game set, the Orioles will do plenty of
they'll
things.
Do pretty good.
I'm not even saying they're going to demolish the Blue Jays or anything. It's just that is a really young, really talented,
they're fun to watch,
really cocky baseball team, and they're going to irk you over
did
the next
see
4 days.
Their start against the Yankees last night.
I did
7 runs in the first inning.
Enjoyed it.
The Yankees are frauds. We'll have to ask Tim at 8, like what direction they go. I'm actually pretty interested because they've fallen off, but they're such a proud team. Like, mm-hmm. are they going to be sellers, or are they just going to try to convince themselves that there's hope still?
Yeah, I've wondered a similar thing about the Red Sox. You know, I know mm-hmm. the Jays made their big move yesterday in getting Hicks. You know, there's been a lot of talk about a bat. Like, a guy I've wondered about is Adam Duvall. He's on an expiring mm-hmm. contract for the Red Sox. We know they moved a player like Kike Hernandez. Now, the problem is that, this will shock you, they want controllable assets, and we know how this team feels about those. So, just something to watch there. But yeah, I mean, obviously the big piece of news was the Hicks trade. I think the biggest question I kind of have about the Hicks trade, and, you know, this is the unknowable, we'll ask mm-hmm. Ben, we'll ask Kirkchen, is was this something that was always in the cards and you were just kind of playing the trade market, or should we read into this about what it means for sure. Romano? Because if this is a move to supplement a guy who you think is going to be healthy, that's great. Now, I want to be clear. If Romano's on the shelf and they go out and get this guy, I like them being aggressive in that way. But obviously, you look at it very differently. This is a move I've been asking this team to make for mm-hmm. 3 deadlines in a row now. Go out and get me the freak of nature who throws 100+. If it moves, that'd be nice too. Nate Pearson can do that for you, but Nate Pearson, for the time being, I know he came back, but we've seen, you know, he's on the Uptown Express. He had time in Buffalo there. So I think you just need to be a little, not that you can't count on him, but a little less certain about banking on him. And this is what elite pens have at the back end. Now, he's a little wild. So if he has to be the closer, because this Romano thing is more than just a little bit of a blip for him, that could be a touch concerning. But in terms of pure stuff, this is, honestly, I'd be hard pressed to go back and find a Jays mm-hmm. reliever you can think of with this kind of stuff. And that's no knock on Romano. Romano, a better pitcher, whatever you kind of deem that to be. But in terms of just the stuff, it has been forever since I can think of a Jays arm. And honestly, Ben is the perfect guy to ask about when he comes on at 7.
Yeah, he's thrown the most 100 mile per hour pitches significantly in the league since 2018. I don't know. Blue Jays have only had 108 pitches since 2008 over 100. This guy's thrown 1,500. Yeah. Like, this guy's going to absolutely change the way that this bullpen looks. And I think the point about Nate Pearson is interesting, too. And I know Blair from Blair and Barker, of course, has been bringing this up quite regularly on the show. And now it's starting to, maybe we're reading the tea leaves. Is Nate Pearson now a really good trade chip for the Blue mm-hmm. Jays? Is he someone that you can throw in? Because if you look at this bullpen now, if Romano's healthy, if Chad Green comes back and is healthy, you got Hicks, you have Swanson, Romano, Mesa, Richards, Carrera, who's been really impressive. Yep. There's a bit, it's getting crowded, right? Mm-hmm. If those guys are healthy. So it'll be interesting to see what Jordan Romano's status is, because if this is a reactionary move, it's great that they got out, because it sounds like the Rays, the Astros, and the Rangers were really in on him. So mm-hmm. it's a great feeling for Jays fans to know that they wanted someone. They got out there and they got it quicker than some people that they might have to play down the road, some rivals. But if it is, you know, Jordan Romano's going to be 15-day IL and he comes back, then, man, this is one of the best bullpens that we're going to see. And that's a huge point of confidence, because the Blue Jays have gotten to this point where they're in a playoff spot because of pitching. So you feel pretty confident about that, especially if they're adding to an already rich system.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Cabrera, that's a nice piece to mm-hmm. have. Pearson as a trade chip is really interesting to me. I still think that if he's healthy, he is going to help this team more than whatever the quote-unquote chip he gets used mm-hmm. in. Because I just think that, you know, look at what Pearson is, and let's not understate what he is to this team, but also let's think about it the other way. If the Jays were buying Nate Pearson, what would the scouting report be on him? It's like, well, he was a former top prospect. He's really had some, he's had some moments, like, we forget about this. He had a 3-up, 3-down strike him out mm-hmm. inning in the playoffs. Like, that's what this guy has done. But he's also a guy who is 6 days removed from a demotion to Buffalo. Now the reason you heard Ailish oof there, you go ahead. We gotta
Australia
play the cards.
Just scored.
But I saw the flag go up, so I don't know that it counts.
Oh,
Noted soccer expert here. I think it
that
is offside.
That means something happened.
I think it is offside.
Yeah,
so
offside.
We're good. You can all exhale. Canada and Australia seemingly still scoreless. We'll let you know if that changes at the Women's World Cup being played in Australia. So home game against Canada, tough there. In terms of the Pearson thing, I think there'd be a lot of people frustrated if he ends up getting traded. Now look, if he gets traded for a bat and the bat has some Steve Pearce-like moment where they go on in their world, it's not going to matter, right?
Yeah.
You could trade him for, you'll never think about Nate Pearson again. But if you trade him for a guy who is supposed to spell Varsho occasionally and he's your seventh hitter, I think a lot of people are going to look at that as a misuse of a guy who could still help this team both this year and in other ways. So I'm curious about him as the asset. I just would have felt obviously different doing this before you had the demotion and before you had some things go not his way. Apparently we jinxed them, and nine seconds later, Australia scored.
That doesn't make sense. It looked like it was offside to me. I'd get a ruler, a protractor out, but the line is the line. So... interesting.
Looks like Canada in
tough
trouble
start,
at the
folks.
Women's World Cup.
Tough start. They've been criticized for not having the best starting lineups here. That's three games in a row where they looked slow to start. So, we'll keep you updated. With these moves, let's talk about the entire trade. So Blue Jays trade in to get Jordan Hicks, two prospects. One, their number 7th ranked prospect, Sam Roberts, who, double-A guy, 7th in their rankings, and then Klopfenstein. That name just
hot handle.
It's hot handle. He wasn't in their top 30 prospect rankings, but you know he's a guy that I'm reading the Twitter people here. I'm not an expert on prospects. Mm-hmm. I think I can admit that. Had a lot of upside down the road, but still, I'd rather have Jordan Hicks right now than people in my hand. If you're in a win now mood, like this to me signals the Blue Jays are going to make some splash. Like this guy is a rental. That's something specific as well that I don't think the Blue Jays always do, is go in for a full rental piece. Going to be a UFA at the end of this year season, but I'm very happy with the return. I'm happy with what the price was for the Blue Jays, and I think it signals that if you're getting ahead of the game and you're looking to add, and maybe you still have your top 10 prospect rankings, which we know isn't really deep compared to other systems. I think that's a pretty good win. And Mitch White's gone.
The other part of that trade as well is that both those guys, this is more of an off-season problem, both of those prospects, they would have needed to have been added to the 40-man to avoid Rule 5 eligibility this off-season. So that's not to say the Jays had to move on with them. There's entirely possible there are guys in the 40-man now that they would have cleared off to make room for those guys, but it does make it a little easier to part with those pieces. Klopfenstein specifically, he's a guy who, you know, you've kind of heard talked about in the system. I remember his year in Vancouver. There seemed to be a lot of talk over there. He's a big starter. When you see him, he has the big frame, and you go, okay, I can see how every team in the world would talk themselves into this. And I want to be clear, this isn't me knocking him as a prospect. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes when you have the Rougned Odor looking prospect, maybe he could slide under the radar a little bit. A guy like Klopfenstein is just as good as we all think. There's not a lot of smoke and mirrors going on there. And then the other part of it as well is, like I said, the Rule 5 thing, so it gets ahead of their work a little bit for this offseason. Again, I cannot overstate how much I like this move. It will change a little bit how much I shouldn't say it'll change how much I like it. It'll change what it does for this pen, obviously, depending on what Romano is. But I think that even if Romano is hurt, this gives you a guy you can trust in your closer spot. And if Romano's not, it just gives you another weapon back there and some help, which is what he needs, because you just see how taxed the pen is. Garcia got ran out there for the third day in a row yesterday. So they needed some other arms, and not just some slop tossers. They needed arms that they could really use in leverage spots.
Yeah, I hope he's in the lineup tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing him. This is a big spot. 4 games versus the Orioles. Obviously, we know that they have certainly surprised many this season. Blue Jays chasing. If they can get, I don't know, 3 or 4 against the Orioles, this makes things really, really interesting still. I mean, it's still a race. It's not an easy one. We'll say that. But this will be a big series. Hyunjin Ryu's expected to pitch in this series as well. He's been someone that we've talked about over the last week about, I wish he was getting in the lineup before. now we know that they're going to have to like make a roster spot for him. So there's going to be a move regardless when he has to come back up. But Mitch White gone. I think a lot of people are happy about that this morning. And Hyunjin Ryu on the return. We'll see him quite soon. Chris Bassitt pitches tonight to start this series. And we're 36 hours away from the trade deadline. I think it's natural to speculate that the Blue Jays should do more. I think it's a great text line question for our listeners. If you're up 590, 590, what do you need next from the Blue Jays? If this isn't it, which I think we can, let's just pretend it isn't. What do they need to add? Like, what's at the top of your wish list? Is there a name? Is there just a position? Is there something that you want to see if this team is deciding to really go in, all in? We have seen a lot of teams this weekend, like the Angels, like the Rangers, start to decide early that this is their window. And the Angel stuff is interesting. We'll get into all that because they kept Shohei and they decided that this was going to be buy time, as in purchase.
Ain't not, no lie.
Buy. There you go. Okay, so Blue Jays weekend, they had a chance to sweep, as you mentioned, at the end of last night's game in extra innings, to kind of lose that one.
It was yucky.
It was a yucky end. But this weekend was amazing. Sellout crowds. It was like playoff baseball. I don't know if you don't get to get down there too much, the kiddo, but it looked like a hell of an opportunity.
I could blame the kid all I want. Yeah. I'm just lazy. I have gone to a Blue Jays game. This is, I think I'm going to keep this. I was going to amend it. I changed my mind. I'm going to keep this. The lone Blue Jays game I've gone to this year has been in the Joe Carter suite prior to the charity event.
Oh my
so
God.
I don't know that I have it in me to go mix.
Yeah,
with
don't come with the peasants.
I can't, you know, and it's like our peasants in the 100 level grade seats that we can get. But yeah, I have not been, but I'd love to blame the kid. It's not because of that. I was jealous. Mm. Now I will say when then Shohei, it's like, he's hurt and he's like not going to leave
Shohei
the game.
The Shohei thing was hilarious, right?
So I definitely had some FOMO heading into it a little less so afterwards, although he's just one of those guys just kind of being in his presence as a present.
Well,
I know you guys
talked about it too when you were on the morning show about if he's the guy to see right now.
Yeah, I think in all of sports, he's pretty clearly the guy. I think you can, because he's in North America, you could make an argument for Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. I think, like, even me, who's like, yeah, who cares? I'm watching some 5'2" Argentinian guy run around. I've seen him before. But wherever he makes his stops, right? Wherever he goes to Columbus. I have a doubt he's going to go there. But if he went to Columbus, it'd be insane for those people. I really think those are the only two guys you can really make the case for. I'm biased in that I love hockey the most. I'm also biased in that I get to see it the most, right?
Yeah,
so I'm really lucky. I've got to see McDavid a ton in person, Crosby, Matthews a ton every year, all these guys. So they're just not of the international, worldly, you know, presence. And let's be honest, like, you know, Connor McDavid, the way he carries himself on the ice, amazing. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't quite have that, I don't know, the je ne sais quoi of Shohei, if you will. So I really think those are the only two guys. And it's funny because they're at kind of, you know, I know Shohei, we think of him as 22. It's like, he's 30.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's the other part of it. But it's like, you know, Messi at the tail end, kind of, you know, soaking it all in, or Shohei. I really think for North America, those are the guys right now.
So Shohei doesn't pitch in Friday night's game, which we had teed up all week. And then with the rain out, the doubleheader on Thursday against the Tigers, he doesn't pitch, but comes in Friday night. The very first pitch at bat, home run. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, welcome to the Shohei show all weekend long. Blue Jays still managed 2 out of 3.
Some guys are just magic. There is like
is
just
magic.
A certain
it
thing to
is.
That.
Yeah. I hope people were on time to the game and saw that. If you got to go down to the Rogers Center this weekend, I'm sure the experience was incredible. This series against Orioles is going to be the same way. It's going to feel like playoff baseball. After that first pitch against Shohei, Chapman showing some fire towards John Schneider.
He's not happy.
If you're a good lip reader, or even if you're a bad lip reader, I think you...
John Boy has us covered.
I think you figured that one out. Why did we pitch to this guy? He's the only one that can hit on the team. That's the PG-13, 6 a.m.
I was going to say, there were a couple other words in there.
There was a few that I mixed there. Okay. But if you look it up, that's it. But I like that because Chapman's guy that we talk a lot about as a leader on this team. And it's hard to, I think baseball might be one of the hardest sports to see leaders because they're all just, it's like individual at bat,
the most
right?
individual
it's,
sport.
You're individually standing there and catching the ball. And you're individually on the mound, and we kind of think, okay, this guy's a leader in the clubhouse. Can you tell? But for Chapman, I mean, probably he might regret that being viral online, but in a sense, it's like, no, we want to win games. Like, we shouldn't be pitching to the world's best athlete in, to ever walk the earth.
Yep.
So I liked that fire. I respected it. And then they certainly intentionally walked him, I think, like three times during Saturday and Sunday. So, I mean, it's not rocket science that this guy can hit the ball really hard. But I liked seeing Chapman show a little fire. And there's been questionable decisions by John Schneider. I think everybody can pick some of those out. But good for him for saying, like, no, I'm a leader on this team, and we're not accepting just mailing it in early.
Don't disagree with any of that, but I'd be lying to you if my thoughts on that didn't not immediately, but pretty quickly go to, I'd like to see John Schneider talk to somebody
like that.
And I want to be clear, not Matt Chapman. I think Matt Chapman is the guy who least needs you to get in his face, like you said, leader of men. We were going on last week about, like, what a compliment if you've been told you're a leader of men. And we both realized never happening for either of
us. You're a leader of men when you're on the show with Sam McKee.
It's a herder of cats is what it is. It's not really a leader of men. But Matt Chapman is absolutely that. And I'd be lying if I said to you I didn't watch that and go, okay, maybe, why don't you take,
I don't know,
just take 15 steps and pick a guy, quite honestly, with this team some days. Now, it wasn't the weekend to do it. You played good baseball. You win 2 of 3. But that is the thing. And then, you know, I know they're tongue-in-cheek, but Schneider has the comments afterwards when asked about him. It's like, well, I finally listened to Chapman. And it's like, okay, maybe now's not the time for jokes from you.
No, giggly time.
Yeah, and again, I love a joke. I love this situation's tense. I'm going to sneak a joke in here. I might get told to pipe down. I might ease the tension. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I'm telling you to pipe down, okay? You tried it, did not work. Humor, not really the tact we're looking for from you right now. So love it from Chapman. Think that's great. Also, cannot be overstated enough, and I want to be clear, I'm not saying this is the prevailing theme, but sometimes it's good to have a common enemy. And if the common enemy is going to be John Schneider amongst the team, clearly it worked. Clearly it galvanized the fellas. So if Matt Chapman, we also hear the idea sometimes of, how many times we heard stories of the, you know, let's say it's Matthews and Marner and Michael Bunting, and it's, you're watching tape and it's, Bunting, you got to be better on this. And I just watch Matthews, dude. And they're coaching the star through the other player because you're not going to scream at the star. And I wonder how much of that is, you know what, I'm going to go hold the manager accountable and get in his face. Because let's be honest, I'm probably, as much as Matt Chapman can do what he wants, probably not going to get in Vladdy's face and scream at him, or Bo's, or for that matter, George Springer's or anything like that. So I think it is just another way to show that he is willing to hold the team accountable. I think it's for sure a lot about John Schneider, a lot about that, but I also think you can kind of make it bigger than that too.
Yeah, and maybe I'm pulling at something because sometimes this team, like, they had some lackluster baseball, and I start to circle someone that's supposed to be a leader like George Springer, who has had bad body language and has looked like he didn't give too much of a, you know what, some of the last 30 at-bats. And I would like to see somebody.
It's kind of the problem with baseball, though, right? Like, if you're not pulling your weight, it's pretty hard to say, hey, we all got to pull our weight around here.
And hi, look at yourself.
Well, part of the nature of the sport is that, you know, I am not saying you're just at the mercy of the game and you have to take whatever comes to you, but it is not an assertive sport. If you're a pitcher, you can go out there and be assertive. As a defender, you can be more aggressive. You can have a touch of a more aggressive approach at the plate. But generally speaking, you have to take what comes to you. Even as an outfielder, if you're playing right and the ball's hit to left, there's nothing you can do about it, okay? So I think that's the other part of it that's just that just leads to so much frustration is George Springer, he's brought here to be a leader. Mm-hmm. But what's he going to say when he's in the biggest slump of anybody on the team?
What he can do is go out there and perform.
Well, he could. Exactly.
And he's been hitless in his last 7 games, 0-27 during that span. Hasn't homered since July 7th.
Can I give you a spin zone?
Please.
Very due for the Orioles.
Oh, there
series.
You go. I mean, if I would love it because.
Imagine Schneider just pops. You know what? Back up top, George.
Okay, so
lead off bomb to start the series.
Maybe that's what he needs, but I was certainly.
I would not do that, just so we're clear.
Yeah, okay, good.
Keep Witt up there.
I was certainly sounding the alarm and saying it's time to put Witt in leadoff position. And we talked about this, I think it was Friday before they announced the first lineup change for the weekend, where George Springer was demoted, isn't a correct way to put it. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Demoted down the lineup. You've been a leadoff guy, legitimately one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball, You haven't moved from that position since like 2021, mm-hmm. which is crazy. And yeah, so I think it is a demotion to be moved down the lineup, and deservingly so. He has literally not had a hit in seven games. So Whit Merrifield, one of the hottest players in baseball, promoted to the top of the leadoff order, and he deserved it. Didn't record a single strikeout during this weekend in a whole three-game series. So George Springer, like, maybe it's a little slap in the face. I want to see better body language. I want to see you try to, it's almost like, this sounds stupid, but try a little less. Like, he's trying so, is it out of character what he's trying to do? Because it's obviously weighing on him. Like, you are a damn good baseball player and you get paid a lot of money. These things should weigh on you a bit, but they should also kick you in the ass a little bit, that this is a huge series. You need to be a leader. And if that comes from lower in the lineup, like, don't pout about it.
Yeah, I think the thing you're, and I want to be clear, I think the George Springer is going to be fine. I don't think he's going to go hitless for the rest of the year. I don't think this is a guy who is, you know, turned into dust right before DFA. Our eyes. But, but, you know, you're watching a guy kind of probably, and he would never admit this. I don't know if he's even admitted this to himself, mm-hmm. but not just a crisis of confidence, but wondering what I am. When I signed this deal, I was not only the leadoff hitter, and there was never a question about
big money.
I was the center fielder mm-hmm. every day. I was the captain of this team. It's like, okay, and like you expected Vladdy and Bo and those guys to assert themselves, but we just had a conversation about it. It's like, and mm-hmm. this, you know, this is always my favorite dumb conversation in sports. It's like, who's the real captain? Well, I think it's Matt Chapman, actually, you know? Like, we're just having, and I'm not saying George Springer is sitting there going, oh my God, I'm the second most leadery guy in the clubhouse, but these things all can weigh into how you feel about yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's, okay, what am I? I'm not the center fielder. I'm not the leadoff guy. I am not the sage veteran leader guy on this team who's providing. What am I providing right now? Mm-hmm. And this, again, is not to say he's never going to provide these things again. But right now, he's just looking around, searching for something. And, you know, he hasn't even had the chance to make stellar defensive plays lately because them's the breaks in baseball. And you need a little luck in that regard to be able to make those mm-hmm. plays. So I just think it's a total, I won't say crisis of confidence, but that's what I think it is. It's just a guy who's spiraling. And I'm not going to say he's had other 0 for 30 runs in his career. He's probably had ones close to it, and he's going to find a way to come out of it.
Yeah, most certainly. And this is a great time to do it, as you mentioned. Baltimore atop. They're 5.5 games ahead of the Blue Jays right now. Blue Jays sitting behind Tampa Bay, 1.5 games back. Like, that has been a fall from grace. So it's time to capitalize. If you can get a couple here against Baltimore, it is like double points. So big series ahead. We'll tee that up later in the show. As I said, we got Tim Kirkjian on later, and we will fully chat about what the Blue Jays' needs and wants are. But for us, 36 hours from the trade deadline, Blue Jays make a pretty big splash to start things off. I think to me that signals it's time to add. We could do our own needs, wants, and mm-hmm. luxuries. So you got a wish list. You've been writing it. You've been thinking what the Blue Jays need, and it might have changed many times over the last month. And for me, it was like times where like, we need starting pitching or else this team's never getting anywhere. And mm-hmm. then things look good. And then we need a bat. And then maybe things were offensively powerful. And then you need a bullpen and you got one last night. So for me, a need and a want and a luxury, I could see if I would be happy if one of these was provided to us, right? For me, if I started off need at this point, after adding Jordan Hicks, for me, you need a bat. You need a veteran bat. Who's proven, who can just be consistent. This has been a struggle for this Blue Jays team for a while to get consistent offense. You're losing games with one run. You're not getting contributions from the big guys at times, a la George Springer. Hey, but you got Whit Merrifield being an unsung hero. You got Kiermaier doing things at the bottom of the lineup. Somebody that can do that in the middle of the lineup consistently for me would be great. Gets contact, has been there before, would mm-hmm. be great to me. I know that's something that Ross Atkins had kind of mentioned when he spoke about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think he used the word like experienced or an experienced bat, which I don't think means has to be old, has to be just experienced. I think that would be really important for this Blue Jays team. You got a little bit of time to figure that out. I will say that there was a tweet from our buddy Ben Nicholson-Smith yesterday that made me a bit nervous where he said, with the Angels and the Cubs deciding to go for it, which was something that surprised some people as well, high-end trade candidates, Ohtani and Bellinger are off the market, and there's not a ton out there for teams seeking to upgrade their lineups. Quote, no bats at all, one exec said. So I'm getting a little bit worried about that, but that would still be my need if I was to pick one?
So I think that is still the need. I think you can kind of look at it two ways. You can say, okay, great. There's no bats of note out there. I mean, like Randall Grichuk, remember him? Mm-hmm. He got moved last night, okay?
Because
that's
one.
The quality of bat that's available out there. A lot of other people have thrown out the name. Tommy Pham is a guy. This is a 35-year-old who's going to be a platoon guy. I think that you, if you look at it as, hey, the quality of asset that's out there is way less, we can spend less to get it, then I think you probably are happy about that. But if it ends up getting into a situation where, you know, at this time tomorrow or at 3 o'clock tomorrow, there's a massive bidding war for Tommy Pham, maybe you sit that one out. Maybe you do. So that's kind of the way I look at it. I think that if prices are diminished some because of it, but if you're playing, if you're paying a typical deadline premium for a guy like that, I don't know how much you need to push in. And I understand the idea of Varsho is frustrating and everything we've seen out of Springer, but I think that honestly, despite what we've seen out of Varsho, I don't know that some of these names that are going to be out there, and again, given the premium you may have to pay for them, make that much sense. So I'm with you that bat is the biggest need still out there. If they hadn't made Hicks, I'm still hammering the need
for
a bullpen arm, but they did. So that's kind of how I look at that. Definitely be calling, definitely be kicking tires, but if you can't get a difference maker, I don't know how much that changes things. Like, do you feel better about your 25th man not being Kevin Biggio? Maybe you do. Probably you do, but I really don't know how much that changes the World Series fortunes of this team.
And you know what? If you have the good perspective that George Springer turns around a bit, Bo has been consistent. Whit Merrifield's been consistent. Vladdy, you know what he can do. Brandon Bell, like there are good. Like this roster is good. Is it great yet offensively? No, but there are things you can do. But you're right. Like it's not a laundry list of names that you're like foaming at the mouth for. But that's my need now.
And the other thing about that too is again, like I do this, you know, I know, shocker, and bring everything back to the Leafs, right? But when we do the deadline conversation, if Justin Hall was a Red Wing, it would be like, you got to get this guy. He's a minute eater. He could play now. If Brendan Belt was on another team, Kirkjian would come on at 8:05 and say, look, he's having not the year you'd like. He has had some struggles. He doesn't quite have the pop he used to, but with this profile of X, Y, and Z. So I am not sitting here and saying, hey, isn't it great that they have Varsho and Belt to save the day? 1,000% decidedly not saying that, but I think that if these were on other team X or you were looking at these as a possible trade deadline ad, that's the way you'd be selling yourself and that's the way you'd be talking into it. So if you don't want to do that and you'd say, you know what, I'd rather just start fresh and let me yell at Tommy Pham when I'm annoyed with him in a month, have at it. And if it doesn't cost you much prospect wise, have at it. But I think that when you look at it as an actual upgrade, just given all of the possibilities on this team, not likely, not probable, but possibilities, that's why I think you got to be careful. And again, I can see the market going one or two ways because of the dearth of bats out there.
Okay, my want is still more bullpen arms because
always
you can never have enough. You look at Jordan Romano, who was a picture of health and consistency. One thing can go. We just both have injured backs,
you and I.
We're carrying this show with injured backs right now. And Jordan Romano got in on the action. He's like, these guys got injured backs. I want one too. He goes in the IL and hopefully it is just a 15-day stint. And then you have him and Jordan Hicks and Chad Green coming. But it is easy to have an injury down the stretch. And although I said that there might be a weakest link and that might be Nate Pearson really at this point, you can never have enough power back there and never enough on a long stretch towards the playoffs. So my need, offense, batting, but a want would still be to continue to bolster that bullpen.
I think if you're going to get greedy, if I'm looking at an arm, and this is a very hard type of guy to get because last time they tried to get it, it ended up being Mitch White. Now, the time before that, it ended up being Ross Stripling. So it's very good.
Oh, I miss Ross Stripling.
In a perfect world, you would love to get it for once. I am actually, for once, not going to go to the pen. I'm going to look at a guy who can be a true swing guy. And it is not seen as disrespect or it's not, or even that. It's not even going to screw him up if he just doesn't get a start and instead he's working for three innings every 4 days or whatever it is. That guy is so important in the playoffs. And when you look at all the back end starters the Jays have, Hyunjin Ryu, tough. Australia scoring again.
Tough.
Tough.
Oh, my God. 2-0.
Alek Manoah could be tough. Sorry, Fan Morning Show. Mm-hmm. You say Kikuchi.
Don't you dare.
Could be tough.
Take that off.
Okay, well,
erase that from the podcast. Right. We are Kikuchi family.
Okay, well, sometimes family needs to tell each other hard truths.
I have more trust in Kikuchi than I do in Hanjin Ryu right now.
Okay, you can. There's a reason I've worked up. I'm just saying that when you look at those guys, they are guys you can have confidence in, but if it is, hey, you all of a sudden need a long guy out of a pen in the playoffs, I do not feel confident putting Manoah. I honestly, Kikuchi's the guy I feel the most confident out of that boot.
He would be good in
that
role.
But if you don't feel good about Manoah, then Kikuchi's starting for you in the playoffs and you don't have him available. Yep. This is why that's the guy I think you need. But because of all of the bodies floating around the rotation, it's hard for them to make room for that guy right now. So that's why it is a uber luxury for me. But if you can get and obviously I'm not talking about the version of Ross Stripling that got himself paid last year. I'm talking about the guy who first came and was just a quality-ish arm. I think for pitching, that's what you need, is a guy who can give you some length out of the pen. Yeah. He can get you out of a spot. He can piggyback off of a Manoah if it doesn't go well. I think that would be the like luxury thing I would want for this team, is an arm, but more of a swing man than a true reliever.
My luxury item, which means it's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's a luxury. It's like when you walk by a fancy store and you're like, that would be really nice to have, but it's not going to happen.
I do this too often.
Yeah. You're like, wouldn't it be nice to get that club for my bag, upgrade this and get one of those fancy gadgets. Mm-hmm. Can I interest you in like a Juan Soto as a luxury? A power hitter? Someone just like going to be the best hitter in your lineup? It's a luxury. I get it. But goddamn, that would look good. So, you know what? Sometimes you can dream. There was a moment where we dreamed about Shohei Ohtani.
That's right.
If you don't have big dreams, what are you doing when you wake up in the morning? Pinball Clemens would agree, right?
That's right.
Tackle the day, go out there and dream about Juan Soto. I don't care. That's my luxury item. And there's probably a 1% chance.
What would 1 year plus this year plus next year's RB of Juan Soto cost you?
They're still their top 10 in the prospect systems.
All of them.
Oh, yeah. You want a bunch of guys?
Tiedemann and Lopez.
Yeah. I mean, as I put it, luxury, probably a little bit less realistic than most, but
Varsho.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd package him up. 100% be in that package.
You could package him up. Those are our trade deadline wants, needs, and luxuries. We do have some texts in. Connor and Keswick, not a lot available for bat seemingly, but I'd happily take Teo or McCutcheon. That's Connor and Keswick. Teo would be nice.
I just think that would just be such an obvious tail tucking by Seattle.
Yeah.
Not to say they wouldn't trade him, but it's just like you're paying a premium to get him back here because
I saw numbers that he isn't really like, I got to find them. I want to make sure I get them accurate, but his last whatever hasn't been great.
No, he hasn't been, but this is still a guy who has a ton of pop, and you would easily slot him back in.
You know
in.
He'd fit well in the clubhouse.
He'd fit well, but was that not part of the issue, right?
True.
Of, a little lax. Mm. So, yeah,
they cut him for a reason.
No way I'm sitting here saying, no chance you want Teoscar back or anything like that. You'd welcome him back with open arms. I just think that Seattle is 1,000% making you pay a premium because there will be another suitor out there. And if it's at all close, you do not immediately turn tail and trade him back to the team you just traded him for.
Yep. Chad from Peterborough says, Tommy Pham is our guy, right-handed power bat that can platoon with Varsho and left and DH. I mean, he's probably the top option right now. We've seen his name out there a lot. I talked to Tim about that at 8 a.m.
And just so we're clear, Chad from Peterborough, Tommy Pham is your guy. I love the interaction. I love to be included with everybody, but don't be lumping me in with that, okay? He's your guy.
They just called back Australia's goal. So things are changing. The vibes are increasing.
I got to be honest. I'm doing a little scroll on Twitter / X. And it just seems like a lot of resignment to the loss that's coming. And I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on that.
Way better than 2-0.
The people are not happy.
It's looking like a tough start. Also, I can't get on with X. Like, it's still going to be Twitter for me. I'm never going to change that.
It's never not funny to me every time I log on and I see the
I keep struggling to find the app on my phone. I go to open Twitter this morning and I'm like, did it go away?
But then it's called X.
Stupid little X on my app. And I took two seconds.
Maybe I didn't update my app.
For me last night.
Look at that little X.
Oh, you still have
still
it.
Got ye old
Take
bird.
A screenshot of that for memories.
Still got ye old bird on my phone.
The old bird.
Yeah.
More text here. Can Kevin Biggio and Brandon Belt be packaged in a deal for a good bat that has some versatility in the field as well?
Okay, let's workshop this. Let's workshop this. Okay. You be literally any sentient being.
Hello.
Hey, I got these two things that aren't really doing much for me. Can I have something good for them?
I'm going to go with no,
okay,
sir.
Okay, all right.
Thank you for bringing that opportunity
played that
to
game
the table.
Perfectly. You're very good.
There's
your agent on the line.
I could be a key negotiator. But yeah, send your text in 59590. Is there something you want, need, luxury? Have you been dreaming?
Plus then John Schneider would be crying after the trade call, so you
that.
Couldn't have that.
Yeah, we can't have that. Okay, so there have been some big moves in the MLB. We can round up here. Texas Rangers going all in, getting Max Scherzer from the Mets. The Mets are so disappointing. Like, I don't... Oh, my God, they scored again.
Speaking of disappointing...
What is going... Every time I look up at this TV, Australia scored. They put the ball in it three times already.
I'm going to give a take that I don't know if it's fair, but I'm going to let these ladies off the hook. I just feel like there's been too many shenanigans going on with Canada soccer. How could we expect any different?
Good for them for getting there.
Okay, let's not go too far. Okay. Trying to make it a little easier, not trying to let them off completely.
That's true.
But honestly, have been
disappointing
a lot.
As yes. hell this season.
God, yeah. To talk to somebody who, for fun, threw 10 bucks on him as a future at the beginning
bucks,
of the season.
Eh?
Yeah, setting it on fire.
Ooh, so yeah, three-time Cy Young winner. Waived his no trade clause to complete the deal here. He'll opt out in the final year of his contract. So this guy is going to help this Texas Rangers team, which already looks pretty damn good, leading the AL West already. They're going to look to return to the playoffs since 2016 for the first time. They give up their 11th ranked prospect, so that, you know, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't also the highest touted prospect that they had. But there's been some big moves. Texas also getting Jordan Montgomery, who's a really good left-handed pitcher. We know that. We've seen him. Lance Lynn and Joe Kelly going to the Dodgers. Dodgers looking like they're adding. And then, of course, the Angels. They decide to keep Shohei, and within 24 hours, they add two pitchers, two position players. But they give up their second, third, eighth, and 28th ranked prospects. All of this looks really good if you do something in the playoffs. But all of this looks almost unforgivable if you don't do anything or make the playoffs and Shohei walks and you've given up this whole bag of stuff.
So I've come around on this. I'd done a complete, I'm trying to remember where I started, if it was a 180 or 360. Regardless, I'm in a
360 mean you come all
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what my initial position on the matter was. I do understand how rotations work.
Do you understand a circle?
No, I was a big X Games guy as a kid. So any variation of 180, I got, it's like, oh, that was a 720. I know what that, okay. Anyways, no one needs to hear that. In terms of where I'm at with Ohtani and the Angels, well, at first when the report came out, okay, now I remember where I started. Mm. That they're not going to trade him. I said, idiots. What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. You could set your franchise up for a generation. Then I realized what that actually means is in the best version of this trade, you probably get one guy who is an all-star for your team for a handful of seasons, a good starting pitcher, and if you're really lucky, another nice roster piece when it's all said
or
and done.
Or a good prospect,
right.
Sure.
But like... the goal of that would be to turn it into a nice roster piece. Like, that is the best version of that trade. Then the report came out of, you know what, they'll trade him, but not to the Dodgers. And I was like, I love that the most. Because you're going to get a great haul from whoever it is. You don't have to trade with the Dodgers. And then they changed their mind and said, you know what, we're actually going to make it appealing to be an LA Angel. And I'm completely on board with this, regardless of whether they make the playoffs. And to a certain extent, now if it comes out reporting wise that he was always going to leave LA and there was no chance they had a chance to sign him, then this is all a ridiculous tack to take.
But we didn't hear any of that, which is good. Like I think it's been pretty quiet on like what Shohei wants,
but,
other than to win and stay on the West Coast.
So that's why I think, and again, he's a black box. We don't know. We're going through this all with Austin Matthews right now, and we actually know like a smidge about him. We know nothing about Shohei. And I think that the fact that this team is pushing in, you're only going to get this guy once. You're only going to get Mike Trout once. Mm-hmm. You could, both those guys could say, get me out of here, I'm gone. You could nail the trade hauls for them and still be stuck in nothingness forever. Mm-hmm. So I think that this gives you whatever the number is, even if it's something as minuscule as a 30% chance to sign him. You have to take it. And I know we all sit there and think of it as this haul that they got and what they could do. Those deals never work out. Go ask the Nationals in 5 years what that Soto trade is going to look like. And guess what? They're going to have one or two pieces. They could say, yeah, it was great. He was going to leave anyways. But you know what? They're not. They're not Juan Soto. And they're definitely not going to be Shohei Ohtani. So I've gone completely the other direction on this. Not only am I okay with it, I commend the Angels, a baseball team trying to win in the year 2023. I know there's only like seven that are allowed to do it in any given year, and they've decided to be one of them. So good job, Angels.
Yep. I agree. It's going to be fun to watch, and that's all you want in baseball are compelling storylines. Like the Orioles have been. Tampa Bay falling apart has been a compelling storyline. Mm-hmm. The Yankees not looking at all like a real franchise. And the Angels going all in. I said this on the radio with Justin on Friday when they decided to keep Shohei. I believe they made that announcement Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day it was. And I said, let's go. Maybe they'll make something of this. Like, wouldn't it be fun if they actually bet on themselves and find a way to make something of it? So I like it.
Fred VanVleet do?
He would bet on himself. He'd go get that bag.
Actually, he would be like, can we do the Red Sox trade for Shohei Ohtani? Can I just have $100 million?
He would probably go elsewhere, but that's fine.
No, Fred. I'm saying if Fred VanVleet was the Angels GM, he would turn it into soccer. He'd be like, can I sell him for $300 million? Like, bet on yourself, get that bag. Yeah.
So AL East looking a little quiet in terms of massive moves. Blue Jays jumping ahead, so we like it. We like the aggressiveness. We'll chat more about that with Ben Ennis, who, of course, will go through how this bullpen looks, what they might need as well, his want list, his needs, luxury items. We'll have Nick Taylor, who just won everybody's heart at the Canadian Open a couple weeks back. He'll join us at 7:45. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN analyst, will help us go through what's happened and what's going to happen. And then Haley McGoldrick, who will join us to wrap up the show, Sportsnet.ca writer for Women's World Cup right now, where we're watching Australia up 2-0 to Canada in the 45th minute. A pretty brutal start. Like the worst start. Yeah, that's pretty bad. They were up. They had a goal called back, so really could be 3-0. And it's a tough start for Canada. All that to come on the Fan Morning Show, but we'll do the A-list after the break. Okay, I know a lot of people will have strong thoughts on this one.
Ooh, about exciting.
Spoilers. Mm. Because I think as a society, we need to set some boundaries, like, and we all need to agree on them, of how...
You know what? I know it's Monday and we have like a lot of stuff to do. Don't tempt me with rules we need to reinstate in society later this week.
So I'm not a big Avengers or Marvel whatever those things are person.
Sure. I think they're dead. I don't even think they make them anymore.
Okay, well, that's news to me.
Okay.
Avengers Endgame, I know, was a big, big one for the Marvel universe. This was in 2019. They had like 21 movies. Anyway, so when this one came out, people were very specific about spoilers. This might have been one of the first times that like Twitter and spoilers became a conversation. Obviously, we know with Succession lately, that was, people were like, don't tweet. Anyway, so LaShawn McCoy was on a podcast this last week talking about, it was on Part of My Take, talking about, I don't know how they got on this theme, but talking about how he was a big Marvel guy. But
well, he famously spoiled it.
Yes. So he famously spoiled the ending of Endgame when he put out a tweet. I think I can probably say it now.
I think you're good.
It's 2019. R.I.P. my dog, Tony Stark. Right. Okay. And it was, at 2 p.m., maybe the day after. Wasn't, you know, he didn't wait long enough. So people got really upset because that's obviously a spoiler. But he's on Pardon My Take and he's talking about how he actually lost a massive sponsorship deal because of this.
Good.
So good. So he had the ink was almost ready to be signed on this contract with a car company that might also be a sponsor of our show.
Sure.
Don Valley North Lexus. They were going to sign this deal, and somebody, maybe from the higher-ups, the execs, said, wait, hold up, Sean McCoy, like, you are not signing him to this deal because he spoiled Endgame. And it's a true story. He lost this massive sponsorship deal because he ruined this lifetime goal of people to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually probably cost him millions and millions of dollars. So if you took offense to it back in 2019... he reveals that it did actually affect his bankroll.
Well, bleep around and find out, I think, is what happened there.
That's it. But I do think we need to maybe set, like, 24 hours seems a bit, maybe it's like the next
day. Well, I also think there's a massive difference between, you know, it's, you know, like offices aren't even a thing, but like I remember back in the day coming in, water cooler, big Game of Thrones discussion or Succession or whatever. And there would be an understanding of like, hey, Monday, maybe everybody didn't. Like, you
Monday is a quick turnaround.
You can have your discussion, but like maybe go have it over there. You don't need to have it in the middle of the office. And then like Tuesday, Wednesday, it's like you're kind of on your own here.
Yeah.
I think there's a massive difference between I'm going to be in public and I'm going to discuss this piece of art, which we have both seen, versus I'm just going, because like the idea of just tweeting something out and spoiling it, like I won't spoil Succession. It's like, but it's like, if I write the second the final ended, when
you can't.
Bah, 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 or, you know, one of our guys on Leaf Talk, the night it happened when RIP to blank during Succession. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? You cannot do that.
You can't do that.
So, yes, time and place. But I think that, like, the whatever the discussion period is, the idea of like just putting out a tweet, that needs way more time.
Yeah.
I agree. But I don't know. Maybe
because also now with Twitter, or X.
X.
The For You page, too. Like, you might have said, like, okay, no one on my page, like, is going to tweet the ending of whatever. But For You, it's like, oh, this guy gets in your face about R.I.P. Tony Stark.
Quickly, I'm going to talk into both sides of my mouth, though. If you really don't want it.
Don't go on.
Don't go on. Or, you know, like me, okay? I've muted some things in my day. I remember, like, Kobe, okay? I was here. I was working. We did the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then the anniversary of his death popped up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good.
You can mute that word.
I'm good. Yep. So I muted that word. And guess what? Made my ex experience so much better, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you really care that much, mute your keywords. So, you know, both sides have some to play here, but obviously, bigger villain, LeSean McCoy, and I'm happy he got his comeuppance.
He got his payback.
You like comeuppance? You like that? That's a good
old-timey word. You know what? I've never once said that word in my life, so.
You want to mix it in, or that's
maybe
just for me?
Maybe later in the show. Okay. That'll be a fun game. Can you
fit
that one in there sometime? All right, Ben Annis will join us at 7 on the other side of the break. Let's go through what the Blue Jays did yesterday, getting Jordan Hicks to this bullpen, guy that throws over 100 regularly, flamethrower, joining the Blue Jays, and then what's next, what's on his wish list. That and more to come on the Fan Morning Show with Gunnar and Ailish, Sports at 590 The Fan.